Okay, well, you know, I had a video. I published a video about a year ago. More than a year ago. Titled something like, A Message to the Israeli People, or to the People of Israel, or something like that. Until now, it's by far my most popular video. And I think in that video, I was quite straightforward, and I think I was respectful in that video. And in that message, I told you the truth. To the Israeli people, I told you the truth. So let me do it again. Because I think that you very badly need someone to tell you the truth. If more of you had listened, actually, and I did get a lot of positive comments from people who identified themselves as Israelis, but if more of you had listened to that first video, well, we might be in a very different place today, and you might be in a very different place today. But what has happened, and here we are, and here you are. So let me tell you where you are. First of all, let me tell you what you did, okay? You took a bucket, and you called that bucket Israel. That's what you did. And you filled that bucket with the blood of Palestinians. You filled it with the blood of Lebanese. You filled it with the blood of Syrians, with Iraqis, the blood of Iranians, the blood of Africans, even Afghanis, the blood of Egyptians, obviously. Yes, you filled that bucket with blood, and then you used that blood to start painting on the ground everything that you said was yours. That's what you did. You painted in their blood what you wanted to claim as your territory. But you painted yourselves into a corner. Yes, you did. You have painted yourselves into a very tight corner, and now you're stuck. You've painted your way out of having any feasible options. But all the while, Uncle Sam was cheering you on, wasn't he? He was helping you to keep that bucket full, so you'd never run out of blood to paint with. He kept cheering you on, and he kept your bloody bucket full, and he watched you paint yourselves into a corner the whole time. Yes, Uncle Sam and his whole European team, which is the same team, by the way, that threw your people into the gas chambers. It's the same team that exiled you, that ostracized you, that abused you, and that mocked you, and that tormented you and your people for centuries. Until they completely tried to annihilate you under the Nazis. That's the same team that's been cheering you on this whole time. That's the team. They've been watching you paint yourselves into a corner with the blood of the people of the region. And you were foolish enough. You know, you were foolish enough, or you were deluded enough, or you had such maybe an inferiority complex about those Europeans and about those Americans that you were just desperate for their approval. I don't know why you did what you did. Wallahi, I don't understand it. But you were fools to do it, and you ought to realize that now. You ought to realize that the people who hated you, ever since they even knew about you, they didn't suddenly have a change of heart. No, they hated you then, and they hate you now, and they have hated you the whole time while they were watching you and cheering you as you got yourselves trapped into a situation that you can't get out of, because that's the situation that you're in. That's your situation right now. You're in a situation that you cannot get yourselves out of, and that's a fact. There's no viable exit for you now. I mean, think it through. I don't think you are. You know, I told you more than a year ago that they were egging you on to do things that were absolutely and irredeemably destroying your reputation as a people, as a nation. I mean, the damage is irreversible. Tens of thousands of people killed, innocent people killed in Gaza, 50,000. By the time that they actually have the real numbers, by the time we know the real numbers, you and I both know it's going to be over 100,000 people that you've murdered. More than that, probably, that you've slaughtered. So you see what they've done. They've turned you from being victims of their Holocaust against you into perpetrators of genocide. Look at that. What makes you think that the perpetrators of the Holocaust are not just trying to retroactively justify their crimes by turning you into genocidal monsters? You ought to think more deeply. I mean, do you understand that no one feels sorry for you now? That was your currency before, but no one feels sorry for you now. I mean, they're putting out AI English translations of Hitler on YouTube, and it doesn't get taken down. It gets shared. They've got people who used to say things quietly amongst themselves now saying out loud that Hitler had a point. And maybe he did what he did for a good reason. Imagine. We're not even talking about Holocaust denial anymore. We're talking about Holocaust justification being normalized because of your actions. That's because of nothing but your actions, Israel's actions. It's because of the genocide. It's because of the unhinged, unrestrained, illegal violence that you've committed across every border in the region, attacking Syria, attacking Lebanon, attacking Iran, attacking Iraq, attacking Yemen. Your great American and your great European cheerleaders have applauded you and have funded you into damnation. Do you understand me? They have applauded you and they have funded you until you now have become a hideous spectacle of a nation that the whole world despises. And you think that these are your friends. Until now. You think that these are your friends who saved you from the Nazis. Well, they're not doing anything but carrying on what Hitler left off, where Hitler left off. But they just made their approach more sophisticated. You know, Hitler used an axe and they use a scalpel. They've ruined you. I'm surprised that you can't see it. I mean, after more than 600 days of inhuman savagery in Gaza, I mean inhuman brutality, all of it live-streamed, when the most bigoted, the most, you know, neo-Nazi, white supremacist, openly Jewish-hating demagogue, after all of that, when he claims that your people are satanic and demonic, why, what's a good-hearted person supposed to say after what we've seen? I said they've turned you from Holocaust victims into genocidal killers in the public mind. All the blood that you're spilling is only whitewashing them of what they did to you for centuries. Can't you see that? You're justifying what they did to you. And because you insisted that Israel and Judaism are one and the same thing, that only ensures that every Jew now is going to bear the shame and bear the blame and bear the ignominy of what Israel has done and what Israel is doing. Oh, they've got you boxed in. And you let them box you in. I mean, look, Iran, let's talk about Iran. Let me tell you about your situation, your Iran situation. First of all, your whole claim all these decades, your whole rationale for why the United States had to keep giving you money, had to keep giving you weapons, why you were useful to launder American taxpayer money into the military-industrial complex, right? Why no one is supposed to object to that. No one is supposed to object to the billions and billions and billions of dollars of their money that went to your so-called defense instead of to their own schools, instead of to their own hospitals, their own roads, their own bridges, their own infrastructure. The whole reason that everyone was supposed to go along with that without any complaint was because you were supposed to be in perpetual existential crisis because you were surrounded by hordes of angry Arabs who wanted to drive you into the sea. Angry, violent Muslims. So you were constantly under threat. And because, of course, people thought of you as Holocaust victims. So, of course, we have to protect you. The American people have to protect you. Even if that really just means protecting defense industry profits. But the rationale worked. You know, the rationale worked because everyone thought, you know, poor little Israel was surrounded and in danger. Okay, Egypt made peace with you. Jordan made peace with you. Turkey made peace with you. The UAE made peace with you. Bahrain made peace with you. Sudan made peace with you. Morocco made peace with you. Now even Saudi Arabia say that they're willing to make peace with you. Lebanon is willing to make peace with you. Syria is willing to make peace with you. Even Indonesia, the most populous Muslim country in the world, on the other side of the world, they're also willing to make peace with you. You know, Hezbollah has been decapitated. And even Hamas is willing to step down, and they're willing to step aside, which means, in practical terms, disarming and disbanding and letting another authority take over Gaza. Another authority who will be willing to negotiate peace with you. So there's nobody left that you can claim threatens you except for Iran. And now, apparently, you're acting like you want to dismantle even that alleged threat. So no one's going to be left now to even justify why anyone needs to protect you anymore. I mean, I know you're trying to resuscitate ISIS in Syria, and you started that dumb little militia in Gaza, that Abu, what's his name? Abu Shabab, or whatever his name is. Obviously, this isn't going to go anywhere. This is ridiculous. So you think now that you want to go to war with Iran. You want to go after Iran. which you know you cannot defeat on your own. Your own people have said as much. Your own officials, your own military have said as much. You know that you need America to do that. But you understand, America entering the war means regional war. And you are in the region. I know you don't care about what happens to any other country in the region, but if a regional war kicks off, you better believe that Iran is going to unload everything they have on you. And if you think that America is going to be worried about protecting you in that scenario, you are sorely mistaken. The only thing that America is going to care about protecting, if that happens, is their own bases and their own interests in the Gulf. They're going to defend Saudi Arabia. They're going to defend the UAE. They're going to defend Qatar, because Iran is going to strike them too. No one's going to be trying to save you. Why should they? You don't have oil. You don't control vital shipping routes. What do you have? Your whole economic model is parasitic. And Donald Trump, remember, Donald Trump is transactional. So think that through. The GCC gives him billions, I mean, even potentially trillions of dollars. Meanwhile, Israel does nothing but beg for money. No one wants to protect you. If America enters the war, you ought to understand that it will only make things worse for you, not better. Can't you see that? Tel Aviv is going to be flattened. Your ports will be vaporized. You know, your little natural gas fields are going to be on fire. Your cities will be demolished. And yes, your people are going to flee. I mean, they're fleeing already. They're fleeing already by the tens of thousands. Some say 100,000 already sailed off on boats and yachts to Cyprus. They're all escaping the possibility that maybe they'll be hit by an Iranian rocket after just 1 week of conflict. You must be out of your mind if you think that America entering the war and escalating the war is going to be good for you in any way whatsoever. They want to finish you. Don't you understand that? Look, construction in your country, in Israel, has already stopped. It already stopped 600 days ago. When your buildings get damaged, they're staying damaged. Do you understand? Do you have any idea how much more damage Iran can absorb than you can absorb? Their country is 70 times larger than you. 70 times. Their army is at least 4 times larger than you. And their soldiers aren't on TikTok. They're not quitting. They're not refusing to serve. They're not getting taken off duty for mental problems. They're not committing suicide. They're not killing themselves. No, it doesn't even matter how much damage America could potentially do to Iran. You cannot sustain a fraction of what Iran can sustain, and that's just a fact. If this goes on for even just 6 months, you're looking at an economic toll on your economy of upwards of $165 billion. That's 35% of your GDP. Double that if it goes on for a year, and it can go on for a year. If it's a full-blown war and Iran starts to get replenishments of their artillery from Russia, China, North Korea, whatever, and if they reactivate their proxies, oh yes, it can go on. And yes, the fact of the matter is that your people all have somewhere else to go when things get bad. Iranians don't. Do you understand? Iranians don't even have to carry out a mass casualty attack in Israel. They don't have to focus on that. All they have to do is land one rocket in one building, and everyone in every apartment of that building is on a plane to New York. They're on a plane to Paris or to Moscow. They can literally depopulate your whole country just by targeting infrastructure. Because at the end of the day, you're all pampered Westerners, after all. You're not trying to live without Wi-Fi and cappuccinos. You know it and I know it. You're not ready to die for the Zionist cause. I mean, be serious. And then there's the fact that, what do you think happens if they escalate the war? What do you think happens when American soldiers start dying for you? Listen, Americans don't even want to see American soldiers overseas supposedly dying for their own country in Iraq, in Afghanistan, wherever else, according to the rationale that they give their soldiers and the soldiers' families. You notice that they didn't even send their own soldiers to go and fight in Ukraine against their arch enemy, Russia. I mean, firstly, what on earth makes you think that they're even going to be willing to fight and die for you when they don't even want to send their soldiers, like I said, to go fight and die supposedly for their own country, you know, in various military engagements around the world? What makes you think that you're not just going to get Ukrained out of existence by your best friend, Uncle Sam? They're willing to fight Russia down to the last Ukrainian. What makes you think that they're not going to be willing to fight Iran all the way down to the last Israeli? Wallahi, you're not reading the room at all. But if the United States does actually escalate and get into the war and they actually do send their own soldiers, well, how does that play out? Think that through again. Now your country is not only going to be responsible for the blood of Palestinians, for the blood of Arabs, but mothers across the United States are going to hold you responsible for the blood of their sons and daughters. I'm telling you, they're not doing anything but set you up to be hated and disposed of. And you should be able to see it. I'm surprised that you can't, honestly. But maybe you're just so in love with the people who tormented you and tortured you for centuries that you just can't see it. I don't know what it is. But it gets worse. Because like I said, your people are going to flee. But also, like I said, you've made the whole world hate you now. So where exactly are they going to go? Now, we know that the U.S. Took in Nazi scientists after World War II, so they'll probably be willing to take in your top tech people, too. But what about the rest of you? What about the rank and file? The only way that they can escape is if they completely deny being Israeli. You know, I mean, I know most of them are atheists, and they only actually claim their Jewishness, so-called, to gain access to Israeli citizenship. But once they escape a war-torn Israel, they won't even want to claim that anymore, believe me. Again, because you stupidly insisted that Israel and Judaism are one and the same thing. So that left them with, now the only choice that they have is to disavow their Israeliness. And in so doing, they're going to have to repudiate their Jewishness. Do you see? Netanyahu and his neocon white supremacist backers are destroying you as a nation, as a people. They're destroying you because they hate you. And they always have hated you, and you know this. There's no way that you don't know this. I mean, you got into bed with the Christian Zionists. And you and I both know that the Christian Zionists' whole motivation is to see you get slaughtered in their end times Armageddon porn fantasy. And you know that the main backers of Zionism back in the day in Europe were the most Jewish-hating segments of the power structure. So you know perfectly well, you haven't fooled yourselves, you know perfectly well that they have hated you this whole time. And now you can see where that's gotten you, trusting and depending on people who hate you. Honestly, this has got to be the most epic series of bad choices in history that you've made. And here's the biggest irony. You know what the biggest irony is? The biggest irony is that the only countries that would still potentially be safe for you are the Muslim countries, the Arab countries. The very countries that you've been saying all this time want to destroy you. Meanwhile, you literally hooked up with the people who have never done anything but try to destroy you, literally for hundreds of years. But the Muslims and the Arabs were always welcoming. They were always hospitable to you. They always gave you shelter. They always gave you safe haven. And now their countries are the only countries that might be willing to host you again. They're the countries that are going to rebuild Israel after people flee, after your people flee. Think about that. After the war that you think you want so badly. The irony is poetic. Yes, the Arabs and the Muslims are going to be the ones to rebuild. They will fund the reconstruction. They will pump in the investment. And the people who partnered with you in your self-destructive war against the Arabs and against the Muslims, those people are going to be partnering with us in those reconstruction projects. Oh, you're being tricked in every which way. I don't know, honestly, how you can't see it. I mean, don't you see how Trump's own crowd, his own crowd, the Tucker Carlson's, the Candace Owens, the Steve Bannons, and so on, well, they've been not so subtly opening the lid off of that repressed right-wing anti-Jewish vitriol for the last 600 days. No one's taking the fall for this but you, do you understand? You're taking the fall. And no one should have seen it coming better than you. You've watched them over the past. You've watched them. You've participated with them. Every single time they turned on someone that they committed crimes with, you know what I'm talking about. But you thought that they wouldn't do it to you for some reason, when they have the absolutely longest record of hating your people. You know, they did it to Saddam. They did it to Noriega. They did it to Mobutu. They did it to the Shah. They did it to Mubarak, to the Contras. I mean, on and on and on. But you thought they really loved you. Is that it? You thought they really loved you. You thought that they really loved you with all of their Nazi scientists, their KKK, and their dream of end times Jewish annihilation. You thought they loved you. You thought they'd never turn on you. Well, I mean, tell me, did you really think that when they were spreading all of that propaganda about how powerful AIPAC is and about how much the Jews control the media and how much the Jews control finance and how you supposedly run the world and what have you, are you telling me that you all thought that that was flattery? Complimentary? Did you think it was all pillow talk? No, they were setting you up to take the blame for everything that they used you to do. For all the crimes that they commissioned for you to commit on their behalf. You understand? Oh, they're going to sell you down the river, just like they've done to every other accomplice that they ever duped to commit heinous crimes on their behalf. The same as what you've done. That's what your whole country's history has been. But maybe you thought it was going to be different with you because you're Western, because you're white, because you're European, or what have you. But I mean, open your eyes. So are the Ukrainians. I mean, in fact, if you're looking properly, you can see very clearly that America has already thrown the entirety of Europe under the bus. They don't care. I mean, at least the Europeans are starting to get some level of cognizance to recognize, to one extent or another anyway, even if it's after like 3 years of very obvious American-European divorce proceedings, the Europeans are starting to understand that there's America and there's the rest of the world, and that's it. But you still think that these people are your friends. And now you're begging for the U.S. to enter your war with Iran, but trust me, that's the absolute last thing that you need to have happen. You know, you're so used to the idea that escalation is always to your advantage, but that's not the case anymore. That's not the case this time, and it's not the case anymore. If there is escalation, it just brings you even faster to devastation. Like I said, what on earth do you have to protect? Think about it, honestly. What is there to protect when you know how the real game works in 2025? I mean, clearly you don't know how it works, so let me tell you. I mean, here's the calculation. A war-torn Israel is at least twice as attractive to investors than Israel intact. Come on, you know this. You know how investors see a war-torn Israel, how they see any war-torn country. They see opportunity. They don't see tragedy. They don't see collapse. They see opportunity, because that's what it is for them. Because when a state like Israel gets hit hard, gets hit fast, gets hit on multiple fronts, what you get isn't just the rubble, you get a liquidation event. You get distressed assets. You get regulatory suspension by the government. You get panic sale. You get state desperation. You get privatization writ large. That's war dividend. Before the war, Israel was expensive. Bloated asset prices. You had real estate in Tel Aviv was like the same as Manhattan. The tech sector was overheated. Regulation was heavy. Civil resistance was loud. You couldn't touch most of the markets unless you were already embedded in those markets or you were overpaying to participate in those markets. But after the war, everything flips. Property values plummet. Owners liquidate. The government fast tracks permits, you know, permits that would normally take years. Zoning laws vanish under emergency conditions. And nobody's going to call it exploitation because it's reconstruction. Even better, the state needs you. You understand? The state needs you. Israel is going to hemorrhage public funds to rebuild. But of course, it can't foot the bill. They don't have that kind of money. They spent too much. So it sells their future off in bonds, in land, in long-term infrastructure deals. You understand? And who do you think has that kind of cash to buy all of that? Again, think it through, because it gets worse. Foreign capital, especially from the GCC, especially from the Gulf, is going to flood you. Not for solidarity, not for peace, but because devastation lowers resistance and Arab money, Arab ownership, Arab residents, you know, in peace, gentrification gets protested, but in war, it's welcomed as salvation. Every Israeli by 2030 is going to be telling his new Arab landlords and his new Arab investors, you know, I was a peacenik back in the day. I was against the genocide. I protested Netanyahu. I'm an anti-Zionist. That's what you're going to be saying in 5-10 years. So when you think about how much more attractive Israel is for investors after war, now think about whether or not you really want America to escalate. Put it this way, if pre-war Israel intact, scores a 3 out of 10 on the return on investment risk-reward scale for cold capital, post-war, it jumps to 8 or 9. Because now you're not competing with legacy oligarchs anymore. They all left on their yachts. You watched them go. You're not going to be stuck in bureaucratic paralysis because you're the solution. You're the savior. You're the savior investor, angel investor. And the very people that you hyped up as your mortal enemies are going to be taking over with the help of the very people who promised to protect you against those same people. Welcome to Reconstruction. It's de-Zionization on an industrial scale. Now, you aren't doing anything when you escalate this war, but accelerate the end of your own colonial project. You should be able to see that. No one's worried on our end. I mean, do you have any idea how much richer our countries are going to get as a result of your delusions of genocidal grandeur? Oh, and yes, it's going to be our money. Not loans, not gifts, not aid from the United States. Our money, our land, our dominion, our sovereignty. You know that saying in the Bible? Your Judeo-Christian friends attribute it to Jesus, alayhi salam, in the Bible. The meek shall inherit the earth, they say. Well, a more accurate translation of the word meek is those who are gentle, who are humble, and who are disciplined in their strength. Those who do not assert themselves through violence. That's what meek means here. So the right way to say that passage in the Gospels, blessed are those who are patient. Blessed are those who are humble, with power under restraint, for the land will be theirs. That's what it said. But I know you don't believe any aspect of the Christian side of the Judeo-Christian equation, but that's fine. The Torah says the same thing. It says that those who are not arrogant shall inherit the land. They shall inherit the land and they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to those among you who believe and who do righteous deeds that he will surely grant them succession in the land. So it doesn't matter which book you want to look at, which book you believe in. You and I both know that none of these refer to you, and none of these refer to the Americans, and none of these verses refer to the Westerners. No. There is only one nation that fits that description, and you know it and I know it. There's only one nation that is right now seeing that play out in the region. And you and I both know that it's the Muslims. And what you need to understand is that this is going to happen with or without a war with Iran. It's going to happen with or without escalation. It's going to happen with or without America entering the war. Because this is just the trajectory. This is the way it's going. So you can either do it the easy way or the hard way. These are really your options. You're choosing to do it the hard way, but that's going to result in a much harder outcome for you. It's not going to result in a harder outcome for us. The easy way gives you a much more softer landing. Doing it the hard way, well, it's going to be a harder landing.